Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 1. We will be in Ephesians next Sunday, but this is a very special day, and I'll be there in just a moment. It's amazing that it has been nearly 3 months. Amen? Amen. You can say amen. There's no one here. Just say amen. That's right. That's 84 days today. What, you know, and now here we are. We're assembling again. I'm so thankful. Welcome home. Amen. You know, the world has changed, and it keeps changing, and is in a lot of trouble. But God hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? We look to God's word. We trust in God's word. It is eternal. 50 days ago today was Resurrection Sunday. And for the first time in the history of not only our church here, but all over the world, even America, you know what? We did something that we have never, ever done before. We celebrated the Lord's table alone or in your homes, in the intimacy of your own homes. Becky and I, we have communion here, of course, in an empty chapel. But we still celebrated our oneness and the unity that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, we know, as I'm not into the message, but I want to set it up, okay? We know that on Passover, our Lord was crucified for the sins of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Amen? We were redeemed not with silver and gold, but mold the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, then, crucified on Passover, died on Passover. That afternoon, it was the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. That was when Jesus was placed in the tomb. It's a seven-day feast where the Jews, remember, they removed all of the leaven from their homes and so forth. Leaven, a type of sin. And then after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the resurrection, which took place on a Sunday, was called the Feast of First Fruits. Jesus rose from the dead. And then in the book of Acts, if you're there in chapter 1, drop down to verse 3. And our resurrected Lord, he's alive, of course. He presented himself, Jesus did, alive after his suffering. We know there were at least 10 separate appearances of our Lord doing so. And by many convincing proofs or infallible proofs, he wanted to remove all the doubts from his people. Being seen by them during how many days? 40 days, and speaking things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, meaning Jesus, the risen Savior, here's what he did. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, that would be the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit, which he had said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized or immersed with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And it would be, of course, 10 days. Now, you will be baptized. It's not speaking of water baptism there. This is speaking of the immersing of the Holy Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God comes upon you. And therefore, when he had come together and asked them, saying, Lord, the disciples now, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom up to Israel? When are we going to rule again, and kick Rome out and so forth? And their vision at that time, it wasn't their fault, was limited to themselves. They just were thinking about Israel being restored, Rome being gone. But their vision was so small because it only included themselves and their nation. But see, Jesus had much bigger plans, as you already know. But Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So now Jesus uses a different conjunction, whatever there. He uses the word, not come into you. There we're already born again. Jesus had breathed the Spirit upon them in, I think, what, John 20? Remember that? But here he says, you're getting ready to be immersed. It's going to come upon you, epi in the Greek. It's going to come upon you, and you're going to be empowered to be my witnesses all over the world. And it's going to start right there in Jerusalem. And now when he had spoken these things, and while they watched, he was taken up into a cloud, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and he just slipped right into heaven, eternity. And while they were steadfastly, or while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So the ascension of Jesus Christ. Now listen, Jesus, after his resurrection, had been there teaching, commanding the disciples, talking to them pertaining things to the kingdom of God. Now it's the 40th day. And so his ascension, now Jesus returns to his heaven, to heaven rather. In 10 days, the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out. And we know the feast day, it would be the feast of harvest, it's called, or the feast of Pentecost. Now drop down to Acts chapter 2, verse 32, Peter's sermon, he's preaching. And he's explaining, because they had been baptized in the Spirit, all these people were speaking in other tongues, all the things that happened. And then he says, "This Jesus God has raised up, which you were all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father," here it is, "the promise of the Holy Spirit." That promise was over in Luke chapter 24, by the way. He said, "He poured this out, which you now see and hear." Now listen carefully. This, on that day, all those 2,000 plus years ago, was the most amazing event that had ever occurred in the history of mankind. It was here that that which was hidden in the heart of God from all eternity was now manifested. It was here that God's greatest masterpiece, if you will, is now going to become visible to the entire world. See, on Pentecost, as we know, today is Pentecost Sunday. Amen? We know on that day the church was birthed. This, today, our homecoming, is the birth of the church all those thousands of years ago. God is so good. Now my question is this. Now that we have defined the day that today is, the historical meaning of it, I want to ask you a question. What have you done for the last 84 days? What have you done? We have been sheltering in place for all that time, you know, buying masks, buying food, getting toilet paper, you know, the whole bit. We've seen the stock market up, the stock market down. We have 40 million people that are unemployed. I don't even need to tell you all about that. But during this time frame, we have watched the coronavirus spread completely around the world. We've watched this pandemic. We literally have witnessed the world that we live in a matter of only a few weeks, it crumbled to its knees over something so tiny, so invisible, that you can't even see it. That's what's happened in that time frame while we have been apart. And not only that, we look and we see all the horrible people, the horrible consequences of this vicious bug, whatever it is. The thousands, hundreds of thousands have died in our own nation. Now, I do not know what you were doing for the past 84 days. I didn't see any of you, hardly. I just saw these empty seats and my five friends, the puppets. Especially Vinny, he's the only one wearing a cross. You know what I mean? No, listen, I don't know. But one thing I do know, on this Pentecost Sunday, when we look at our world, which seems to be falling apart, and we look at our lives and we don't like our mask, we don't like all the stuff we're going through, we don't like the fact that it seems that our lives have been turned upside down. And then when we witness the rage and the anger and the fear that is overflowing even this minute in dozens of cities across our own nation, and even the White House, if there's ever been a house that looks like it's falling apart, no offense, it seems like the White House. You know what I mean? But God's house is still standing. You see, yes, we witnessed the closing of the doors of this church. And you know what? But God is still here. The church is still here, and this is what I know now. I didn't know a few days ago. I'll get to that at the end. But I do know one thing. During this entire time that seemed to me a waste of time, it seems like everything that God told us to do was put on hold, and everything immediately changed, and for the last 11, 12 weeks, an empty chapel. It's been a different, a weird time. Amen? But this is what I know, that God is working. I know it now more than I've ever known it in my life. Do you remember the man with the infirmity in John chapter 5, I believe it was? And when Jesus, he had been in that condition for 38 years, he was at the pool of Bethesda waiting for the water to stir. You remember that? And the angels to stir the water, and he could go in and so forth. And it says that when Jesus healed this man, in John 5:16, just let me read it to you. For this reason, the Jews, meaning the religious rulers, by the way, persecuted Jesus, meaning because he healed him, and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. He healed that man on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered, listen carefully about working, very important word, the word working. Jesus says, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Did you know there is never a time that God ceases working? Not from creation to this very moment. God doesn't rest on the Sabbath, amen? No, we were the ones supposed to be resting on the Sabbath. But no, he doesn't rest on the Sabbath. When there's someone sick, there's someone ill, he doesn't say, well, I'm sorry, you can't. This is the Jewish Sabbath, we can't help you. No. God doesn't do that at all. God is always working. And let me say something to you about this time. You know, because I have said to myself, not to other people, maybe a couple of people, I've been so grieved are burdened. It seems like we've wasted a whole half a year. Does that make sense? I mean, being apart and all the things that just have been put on hold. But I don't want you to ever say in the midst of all that we've been going through that God is not working in the midst of this pandemic. God has always been working. He was even working in eternity, when God chose us in him, meaning Jesus, before the very foundations of this world, before time literally began. God, just because the pandemic has shut everything down, God doesn't go, you know what, if you're crying this week, these last 84 days, now listen, I have a bottle for your tears, but I can't do anything. Can't put them in there. I can't write anything in my book of remembrance, you know, because the church is closed or whatever. No. He doesn't say, you know what, no more counting the hairs of your head. I don't know if you're inscribed in the palm of my hand or not. No, listen, God is always working. Remember what Paul said in Philippians 2:12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out something we do. Bring to conclusion, bring to the end. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you know why? He says, for it is God who works in you. See, God is working in us, amen? It says God is working in us, in both you to will and to do for his good pleasure. God hasn't stopped. In other words, I'm going to tell you something. I want to be very transparent. These last weeks, the hardest time for me and my prayer life I have ever had. I was going, Lord, where are you? I'm not hearing you. I'm not getting an answer that I need. Over and over and over, I kept praying. I believe in prayer. I didn't hear a thing, not a word. Oh, I have the word of God. Praise God for that. Amen? But I'm talking about where the Holy Spirit bears witness in your spirit, and you hear the word of God. You hear discerning the times, knowing where we are, knowing what we should be doing. Amen? That's prayer. And it has been so difficult until this week. Trying to figure out, Lord, which way do we go? What do we do? See, God is working in us, his plan, in America, even now. The reason that we can love people is because God's love's in us. Amen? Yes, it's never going to be our ability. It's always God's working in us. It's his ability. John 15:5, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. The reason you want to be at church today, fellowship, is because God is in you. He's working in you. The reason you don't want to sin is because God is working in you. God is always working. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything that we could ask or even think, according to the power that what? You can be loud. It makes it sound like there's a lot of people here. Who works in you? Who is working in you right now, loved one? And the purpose, it says, in us for him to be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, just not a few, forever and ever, Paul says, and he says, amen. God is working. He's already created, Ephesians 2:10, the greatest masterpiece in all the world, you, the church of Jesus Christ, you, the bride of Christ. He's not only doing that, Paul cries out to the church at Philippi, Philippians 1:6, and he says, we can be confident that he, God, who began a good work in you, will complete it to the very day of Christ Jesus. You're God's good work. See, he's still working. Everything looks like it's falling apart. We don't know what's really happening in the world. Everything looks divided, and there's so much racism and hate and bigotry and tweeting stuff that should never be tweeted or whatever you call that word. Listen, God is at work. He's working right now, whether you know it, whether you see it, and I'll tell you something else, whether you even believe it. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, for we know, that word literally means absolute certainty to the believer. We know that all things, no matter what they are, lack of faith, being sheltered in place, having faith living in our heart. We know that God does something. He causes all things, no matter what they are, all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God's word doesn't say that all things are good. God's word doesn't say that all these good things come to everyone on earth. No, only to a select bunch of people, those who love him and those that he've called, meaning a born-again believer. But the Bible does say, we know that all things work together for good. We know it. Do you know it? Do you believe during this time, some of us have lost every penny in our 401k or whatever you call that? Do you understand? Others have lost their homes. Others have lost their jobs. We have seen line after line, a food line all over America. Is God working all things for good? He doesn't say all things are good, did he? No, but he says, I'll work on your behalf. And you may say, well, Bill, this has been so hard. Well, I understand. And you may be saying, I just don't see it, and I just don't feel it. Well, here's what I want you to do. Trust the God who cannot lie. Amen? Trust in him. Jesus, the head of the church, the bride of Christ, the new man. Jesus is working. You know what? If Jesus wasn't working, he would not be interceding for us in heaven. Amen? There would be, who would be saved? Come on, Jesus is working right now, and there's something else that Jesus is doing. Colossians 1:17, and he, meaning Jesus, is before all things. He's the preeminent one, and by him, all things. Now listen, all things, everything that is, everything in the universe, the stars, the heavens, the smallest snowflake, everything in the world, all things consist by him. The word consist, again, is present, perfect tense in the Greek, so it would be this way. He continues to hold everything together. Everything in this world. We have nothing to fear. Amen? Nothing. He holds everything together. How does he do it? Hebrews 1:3, by the word of his power. He just speaks and it is done. We are in the body, are members of the body of Christ, loved one. God is working. Jesus is working. And the divine helper, Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church, the divine helper, he is encouraging. He's our standby. He is our strengthener. He is our advocate. He is the divine helper of the church. He is working right this minute. How do I know that? He's still leading all of us into truth. Amen? We're walking in the Spirit. And not only that, he takes us, the Holy Spirit, like it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are being changed, loved one, from glory to glory to glory, transformed from glory to glory to glory by the Holy Spirit of God out into the same image of the Lord, that Christ-likeness. And not only that, here these last 11 weeks, each week got harder to pray. Interesting, because see, this was all new to me. It was all new to every pastor in this nation, that every week, the accumulative, it got harder to be when there's no one here. I knew that you were home. I knew that you were listening. I don't know how to explain it because I've never experienced it. But it accumulates. The mindset, when they flash the light up there and they say, Bill, you're on. It's time. The mindset has to be, I see you. I see you. I know you're there. And it got harder and harder. And as it did, the prayer time got harder and harder. Because the devil wants us. He doesn't want this place full. He doesn't want us back together. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came for us to have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. And I look and I say, oh, Lord, you're working. And the divine helper of the church is working. And you know what he does? It says in Romans 8, 26, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us or works for us. That word helps means literally to help another carry a heavy load. And he says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession. In other words, he pleads in behalf of us to God at the throne of grace. The Holy Spirit that is living in us, working in us. And the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Those groanings. We have the greatest prayer partner in the universe, amen? And who helps us to pray. And here we are, Calvary. Here we are together again, and God has been working, and he continues to work in our midst. If I had not believed in these last 84 days that God was helping me here in an empty chapel, I could not and would not have entered the pulpit. But God was here. He carried you. He carried me. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:4, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, perceived with the ear, nor with the eye, seen any God besides you who acts, literally in the Hebrew, who works for the one who waits for him. I've been waiting for this day. And in our waiting, God is working. Amen? So important to see that. Isaiah 46:4, even to your old age, God says, I am he. Even to your gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, I will hear, or I will bear, and I will carry. And I will deliver you. What God did for Israel, he certainly, our Father, will do for us. Amen? And that's what he has been doing. God is working from the very moment we're born till the very moment our hair is gray and we say goodbye to this life and walk into true life. Amen? He's with us every step of the way. Isaiah 41:10, God says this, fear not. Say that with me. Fear not. We have nothing to be afraid of. Yes, we need to obey the laws of the land. We need to wear a mask maybe for a couple of more services until Abbott says, this mask is killing me. You know what I mean? And then we can take it off and burn them right out there in the hall. No, outside of me. Not the hall. Don't. Some of you take that literally. No. Fear not, he says. And here's why. God says, I am. I am that I am that I am, God is. Amen? He says, I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Why? He says, well, I'm your God. I will, over and over, I will, not you will, not I'm going to do it. God says, I'll strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will work on your behalf, is what God says. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What a word from the God who loves us, who sent his only begotten son to die for us. He says, listen, I'll be with you. The Lord's presence, the Lord's protection, the Lord's power, the Lord's strength. Now, a confession, a true confession for me, which I have repented of, by the way, to myself in my prayer time, as I go back to what I said earlier, I said, Lord, there's so much we could have been accomplishing this year, and here we are. I mean, there's nobody here, Lord. You know what I'm saying? And there's so much we could have been doing. And so my confession, I had to say to, honest to you, I'll be transparent. You know, for the last 84 days, I tell you, I questioned God. I did. I questioned how God was working, not in me, not in you, but what in the heck is just going on? I kept praying about the New Year's word that God gave us for 2020. And I just said, Lord, you know, look what you were doing. You were bringing the harvest to us. Now you sent us out into the harvest. The things that were going, the tent ministry under Dan and Stacy, it just began. I mean, it just started. Remember what happened? How we pitched our tents, a tent call free. And then the first time out, 4 people got saved. The next Saturday, 6 people got saved, and I forget how many the next. And then all of a sudden on March 13th, the judge, Whitley, whatever his name is, the mayor, Betsy, and all the rest of them, they canceled the services. What a surreal, I couldn't believe it. And we could not meet. You know, the word that I gave at the beginning of 2020, is I give a word, whatever the Lord speaks to my heart. I always preface by saying, I will not define it. And that's a dangerous thing to do. But I said, I will declare to you what God has declared to me. And then, you know, the pandemic, the things, and I asked the Lord, Lord, I know what you spoke to my heart, what I preached to your people, the truth of your word. And then this pandemic came, and I asked the Lord, did I miss it? Did I not understand that I pass the poster of 2020 in every day here in the hallway about a tent called free, about us pitching our tents, about us going out and seeing people transform, people saved. And I said, Lord, did I miss it? Did I not understand you? Did I not hear you correctly, what you spoke into my heart? And then it was almost like the Lord gave me this scripture from Isaiah 55:8. And I'd like to preface it by saying to me personally, even though it's for all of us, Bill, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, meaning you can't measure that, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down from heaven and the snow from heaven, and they do not return there, but the water the earth, and they make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, meaning to provide for us, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. Bill, not what you please, what I please. and it shall prosper in the thing, the word will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. On this day, May 31st, in 1792, 228 years ago today, there was a poor man named William Carey, who was a cobbler by trade. And in his workshop on the wall was a handmade paper and leather map of all the world. And he would pray over the world, over and over and over. The scripture that came into his heart was Revelation 3:8 that says, I know your works. See, I have set before you. This is Jesus' letter to the church, by the way. Jesus is speaking. See, I have set before you an open door. Open door always speaks of opportunity for ministry. I've set before you an open door. No one can shut it. No one on earth can shut what God opens up. Amen? He says, oh, but you have a little strength. You've kept my word. You haven't denied my name. You know what Mr. Carey did? He believed that scripture. He believed that Jesus opened the door for him. And on May 31st, this day in 1792, he preached one of the most famous sermons that has ever been preached, entitled, Lengthen Thy Cords, Strengthen Thy Stakes. And that sermon so awakened the church that was in lethargy and deadness and apathy that missions went all over the world. He has been called the father of the modern Protestant mission movement. Read what he did in India. It will blow you away. Or how God used him in India. And his motto was this, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. It's amazing to me. Here we are back together on this day, May 31st, Pentecost Sunday, and I preached with the same scriptures that William Carey used all those 228 years ago. I used for the New Year's sermon, and here it is, Isaiah 54:2, the word that God gave us for this year. Enlarge the place of your tent. Oh, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right, and you shall expand to the left. The Lord said, I was so excited. Enlarge. Man, enlarge the place of your tent. But it did not happen. He says, the Lord says, trust me now. I'm going to stretch your faith. But we couldn't, our faith was put on hold in a sense because we couldn't go out and do those things. The Lord said, do not spare, don't hold back, but the pandemic held us back. At the New Year's message, I said this, Calvary Chapel, it's time to enlarge. It's time to stretch. It's time to lengthen and strengthen. It's time to expand. It's time to pitch our tents. The adventure begins, is what I said. But our adventure was short-lived. And the pandemic stopped the work that God called us to do. And I was heartbroken. And I thought that God wasn't working. That everything now was put on hold. And then last week, I started receiving some texts from people across America who gave me the scripture I just read from Isaiah, our word for this year, saying that God spoke to many people and gave them the same word for 2020. And I was going, really? Well, then, what the heck is going on? Even Franklin Graham and his sister and so forth saying today, like the text I started receiving, that today would begin a revival in our nation. On Pentecost Sunday, it had been prophesied that this revival would start sweeping across America. Will that so? I don't know, but I hope so. Amen? because it is so needed. So I prayed. I said, Lord, I've been alone in this chapel for nearly 3 months. Now, when I say alone, the media team is, of course, with me here, you know. But they're not much help, if you know what I'm saying. So I said, Lord, I said to myself, you gave us this word. You gave us this word, Lord. How has Calvary enlarged the place of our tent during this pandemic? I said, Lord, how has Calvary stretched and lengthened our cords and so forth? How have we expanded, Lord, to the right and to the left? I said, I don't see a thing. I said, we're supposed to be in this community. The harvest is ripe. And then someone started talking to me about, you know, Pastor Greg there at Harvest, you know, Greg Laurie, a little church, you know, that he has there. And, you know, I was watching, you know, the Palm Sunday service online. Of course, there's nobody there, you know what I mean, just a few people. President Trump, by the way, was supposed to be there. And, but because of the pandemic, no, he couldn't. And so, but he tweeted that he was going to be there. And do you know what happened at his service on Palm Sunday? You ready for this? Let me just show you. Let me read it. 1.3 million viewers. Can you believe? Did you hear what I just said? Over a million people on Palm Sunday tuned in to Greg Laurie's message. And I went, dear Lord, over 11,000 people on online listeners came to Jesus Christ. And I'm saying, praise the Lord. That happened online. And then the next big guy, and I don't mean that, I love them all, but David Jeremiah, he was on, I don't know what it was, one of the Christian radio or TVs. And he said, I have never in my entire lifetime seen what God is doing online. He said, our online presence has exploded all over the world. And I thought, well, if I had the team you had, something would happen with me. I mean, you know, I'm just talking. I mean, they're huge, amen? And so I started thinking about all this. Because here we are, we're back together and all of that. And I said, I asked our media director, I said, Abby, I said, I want you to do me a favor. I said, because I don't know how to do any of this, and I never do it anyway. I said, can you go and look Facebook, you know, live stream, YouTube, whatever we do and whatever sources we're on around the world, could you just, you know, on our Sunday services for just the last 11 weeks, I want you to go and, or the 10 Sunday services prior to the pandemic, before it hit, and how many people were listening, you know, to Calvary Chapel Fort Worth around the world? And so she gave me a number, said, oh, Bill, it's a little over 25,000 people. I said, okay. So roughly that's about 50,000 or more because of families, you know what I mean, or churches, their home fellowships that listen all over the world. So I said, well, that's pretty good, you know, but that was before the pandemic, so there's about 25, 50,000 people there or whatever. So then she did the online services during the pandemic. She just did the 10 Sunday services while we were sheltering in place. And would you pull up the first graph, Abby? And, I want to tell you that in the midst while I was saying we're failing, while everything I thought was falling apart, while we were on hold and I was going, we're wasting time, I want you to know that God was in doing incredible, incredible things. Do you know that? Now, those dots don't mean, that just means the state who was many, many, many in each state. There's only four states that is not tuning in to Calvary Chapel. Isn't that, do you understand? Listen, yeah, I'm going, dear God, you mean, that's just in America. And so when we put it all together and we started looking at all of this and we realized that God had done something in just 10 Sundays, we have now, while you were sheltering in place, over 50,000 people watching, which means over 100,000 people in the 10 weeks that you were gone. God had doubled, more than doubled, all that we were doing. Why? God was working while I was pouting. Are you listening to me? No, church, yes. Listen to me. God, I look at all the things that the Lord is doing. Now, listen, that's just America. Let's go. What's the next one there? Just the next one for a moment. Now, this is all over the world. That people, I mean, I started looking at all those and I don't ever do this. I don't even know who's out there. I just welcome people. I don't even know how all this has happened. I mean, when you look at Canada, my gosh, they love this church. They love you guys. They are so many people listening. New Zealand, Peru, and Colombia. India loves us. Australia, they really like us. Trinidad, listen, Kenya, Kuwait, France. Woo, I mean, there's over 1,000 people in just that area of France that's tuning in. You know what I'm saying? You've got Trinidad, Kuwait, the Philippines, South Africa, Switzerland, Italy likes us, even Czechoslovakia, Romania, Netherlands. I could go on and on, Nigeria, Luxembourg. I mean, even Korea. I'm going, dear Lord. And not only that, Germany, Japan, even the Kingdom of Jordan, Slovakia, Zimbabwe. I mean, we can go down the list of all the people, Brazil, Taiwan, Argentina, all over the world, Vietnam, Pakistan. And then I looked in on one. Well, let me mention another. Ireland. I'm Irish, of course. Quinn, they really like us in Ireland, okay? I mean, they really, all of Europe, I don't know what it is, you know, but they like this church. They love you guys. Now, but then I had to look at something. And I looked at Iceland. There I am pouting to God. There I am saying we're wasting this precious time. And I thought, I didn't know what God was doing. And I look, and there is either one person, or maybe they're one family, or maybe they're one church, or maybe they're one home fellowship, one in Iceland. And I said, God, you were working. Your incredible grace, your incredible love. You knew that one person in Iceland had to tune in to whatever we were preaching that day, that they had to hear it because God was working. I am amazed that all that God has done and all that he is doing. Loved one, we're not a major ministry. Amen. Hello, come on. We're just a little, 700, maybe a little bit more church people. We don't have, you know, all these people working to make sure we get out and, you know, and sell books and all the rest. This is 100% of what God has done. He did it all. His word was true. While we sheltered in place, God was working. God was working while we were waiting. God has enlarged our tent. We didn't even work. Are you listening to me? God has enlarged our tent. He's doubled our tent. He's taken us all over the world. He's made Calvary stretch all over the world. He strengthened our stakes. He's lengthened our cords. And he has expanded Calvary to the right and to the left all over the world. That's what God has done while we have been sheltering in place. God's word always comes to pass. Forgive me. Amen. Listen. In John chapter 9, Jesus healed the blind man. Remember, he was blind from his birth. And he knelt down and he spit into the clay and mixed it all up and anointed the man's eyes and said, "You go and wash in the pool of Siloam." And he went and washed and he was made whole. He was healed. Then Jesus said in John 9:4, he says, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. But as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. God is working. Now it's time for us to start working again while it is day, before the night comes, because the fields are white to harvest. We need to pray again, Dan and Stacy. We need to pray again, and we need the tents out into the cities. That's what you call social distancing for sure. You can get into the parks. The fields are ripe for harvest. God is good. You're listening live right now. Do you know Jesus? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? I tell you that time is short. Come to him now. Ask Christ to be the Lord of your life. Say, Jesus, come and live in my heart. Save me. And you mean that. He will save you. There's no one like our God. Today is Pentecost Sunday, the birth of the church. Welcome home, Calvary Chapel. Father, we praise you, we thank you for, and I ask for forgiveness. You were working, fulfilling the word you gave to this church, and I couldn't see it. Thank you for revealing it to me. Thank you, Lord, for showing me the greatness, your incredible wisdom and power. You, O God, are working in our midst. I give thanks for the sheep of your pasture. I give thanks for this day that you've given unto us. I give thanks, Lord, that as in the upper room 2,000 years ago, the church was birthed, the Holy Spirit poured out. I pray you pour it out upon us and upon this world and upon our nation, and let revival begin. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand.